this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Manchester United are back on the weekend. Time to wash that bitter taste out of our mouth after drop points against the Saints on the South Coast. Last week of the transfer window, United, as always, leaving it late. Still got business to do. I'm not hopeful at all. I think we're done. But there are waves in the window. Big names. One of your favorites, sir. We'll get to that later. But how you doing? How we feeling?
Sir, I'll tell you what. That was a tough draw against Southampton. But I have read all the social media posts from all the Manchester United players. They're very sorry. They're going to try a lot harder against Wolves, sir. You know, social media these days, you win, you tweet, you lose, you tweet, sir. That's how it goes.
So you're saying we're good.
I don't understand the apology posts.
No, I don't think a post is needed. But it is what it is. It's the modern day. Modern footballer, you know, they kind of live vis-a-vis their social media lives in many ways. It's an extension of their brand. Great way for them to make money. I don't need it.
No, who is it? Paul Scholes says, I think you should get off Twitter and start focusing on trying to beat Wolves. I mean, at the end of the day, Manchester United, big step back against a terrible team. And you know what? When you drop points against the Southamptons away, you get the Wolves away next, right, sir? So this is going to be a tough match. It could be really exciting Sunday morning here. Decent wake-up call here on the West Coast. But again, Wolves is going to be a tough team away at the Molyneux, sir. I'm a little nervous. I wasn't nervous about Southampton. Maybe I should have been.
I think you should have been. I don't think they're that different. You know, mid-table side, who's going to be scrappy. They're going to press you good. They're dangerous on the counter. They're good on set pieces. Wolves probably got a little bit more flash. They got some of those big names like Traore. Jimenez is back. Butchering last name, sir. Welcome to the American Red Devils.
Oh, there's a Portuguese side, sir.
Portuguese side, Mexican striker. They're a dangerous team either way. And having him back in the side is a big addition for them. They're a totally different team. And when he was gone with injury last year, they looked like they were toothless, and they started the season pretty well, even though they dropped the lowly Spurs.
But, sir, we got Varane coming back. He's got to start. Sancho, he's got to start. I mean, so we can counter the Southampton early season fitness, players not back. Now we're going to see a probably stronger lever from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, sir. Think we're going to go for it at the Molyneux? What do you think? How is Ole going to set up? Are we going to defend? Are we going to attack?
I hope he attacks, you know, but usually what I hope doesn't always come into actuality. I'm hoping that he starts the new boys. I think Varane might be the question mark. Like maybe he's not quite in fitness. Sancho should be ready to go, should be ready to start, even if he needs to be yanked. After the 65th, it's about time to be bold. But I think it's going to be McFred. I think it's just an oldie but a goodie classic, like a warm blanket. Ole can't deny it. Loves the McFred combo, especially against a side like Wolves that are dangerous on the counter, wants to break up play and then counter them. We'll see. I hope we go for it. Maybe see some Donny Van de Beek. I heard he still plays for our team.
I'm thinking McFred, sir. I think we're going to see McFred. Wolves are going to come out. They did the same to Tottenham. Tottenham was away at this past weekend, essentially sat back, countered. It did work. Dele Alli, a little acting, a little penalty action. Wolves outshot him by a huge amount. I thought they were the better side. Neves pulling the strings. Him and Moutinho in the middle of the park making it click. Like you said, Ahmad Traore, Jimenez, lots of opportunities, sir. They're playing the 3-4-3. Wolves are going to come at us. It's going to be an open game. If we can score early, it could be like a Leeds route or it could go the other direction, sir. We're trying to break them down. They're trying to break us down. Everything happens in transition. You know Paul Pogba has some magic. Going to be a great match, sir. I think a very even one, even though the bookies have it heavily favored, United will win.
Yeah, I don't think we can take that for granted. It's a big opportunity for United to kind of turn the tide because you're only as good as your last game, especially early on in the season where people haven't, you know, put together enough of a stretch of momentum of results and fans are disappointed. You know, the limelight is off United at the moment as it relates to the Premier League title contenders. And everyone thinks we're a pretender after that performance and that result.
Sir, it's going to be a big match. We will get into the match breakdown, match preview podcast, sir. We're back to our normal schedule after 2 years of COVID crazy calendars, but now we can actually have a solo preview pod. How are you feeling?
Good to be back in it. A lot to break down. Transfer window, last week of it. I am hoping for a CDM. I've asked the Tooth Fairy. She's not delivering. The Glazers, they took the Tooth Fairy's wings. The transfer window wings.
I have a feeling we're going to have a lot to say during the transfer muppetry, sir. CR7 going to Man Shitty. Are you kidding me, sir? But before we do, let's jump into a quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. One of the best ways to support us is via Patreon. You want to check out our Patreon page, you can visit at www.patreon.com/American Red Devils. We post an exclusive behind the scenes podcast episode every month. Answer all your questions, sir. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. There's four tiers. You can pick one to support us. Great way to support independent fan content because it's just me and Alex sweating this summer in the bunker, sir. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Click on store. We have some great merchandise. Glazers out on sale, sir. $9.99. The shirts, the scarves, they're great. We need them this season, guys. This window, Sancho Varon, day late, dollar short FC. Not enough. The intentions to compete with the Chelseas and the Shitties of the world are not there, sir. It's been way too long for Manchester United to get a trophy. Get the trophy we want. Hashtag Glazers out all goddamn day, sir. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod, and they don't cost a single penny. This is all you have to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes if it includes cheeky banter. We love that kind of stuff. Even better, sometimes we read it on the pod. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will send you whatever I feel like sending you in that moment. I run basically the Amazon warehouse at my house that's moving stuff and gear out. So send a review, send your address. I'll throw in some cool stuff. It goes a long way to helping us get found organically and reaching fans like you that like the bands, like talking about the greatest club in the world. Sir, tell me there's a chance. So, I was calling title winning, and here we are. You know what? The wind was taken out of my sails after the Southampton draw. I need to get back to action against Wolves. I know they're a tough team, but we should be rolling a Wolves side. I know City would be like 5-0, so we got to be.
Sir, we're hungry for trophies. We're thirsty for signings. We've always have been, always will be here at the American Red Devils. By the way, the Amazon warehouse, yes, it's just a bunch of boxes in Alex's garage. there's no system to it at all whatsoever. So for anyone thinking that there's an organized warehouse, no, it's just a bunch of boxes in the corner next to his car.
I think an Amazon analogy was generous. So how well-tuned we are over here. But we do our best. You know, it's all about effort at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, it's all about Manchester United versus Wolves at the Molyneux Stadium, sir. Away days again. The fans will be in full voice. You love to hear the Manchester United away fans singing. It's been way too long, sir. I think the team has needed this. The club has needed this. I needed this. We'll be kicking off Sunday, August 29th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 Eastern. Sir, Lifetime versus Wolverhampton Wanderers. They've been around a while, sir. We've won 51, drawn 20, lost 36 the first time we played them. Sir, we were in Newton Heath. They were still Wolverhampton Wanderers. You got to give them credit for that. In 1892, we beat them 10-1. I think that's when we were playing near the chemical factories. You know, the opponents would come and hail all these poison gases, and, you know, we take advantage of them, sir. So, you know, a 10-1 result for Newton Heath, the green and gold. What history this club has, and so does Wolverhampton Wanderers. Wanderers, sir. I love the Wanderers part.
Only in England, you know, these names.
And like, what is a wanderer?
I don't know. Someone that walks around a lot and just keeps wandering.
I don't know. But these are the Wolverhampton Wanderers.
They go all the way back. Are they a founding member? I'm not sure. I don't remember if they are, but they certainly, you know, haven't changed their name.
Sir, they were one of the founding members of the Football League in 1888. They were formed as St. Luke's FC in 1877, sir. Unbelievable. The club has played at the Molyneux since 1889. Rich history here in the Premier League. You love to see it. Sir, the 2021 season is the club's 60th season in total at the first division, the highest level. So they've been around for a long time. And they were the ones who started the European competition, sir. The original Super League. They were one of the first British clubs to install floodlights at the Molyneux Stadium. They arranged a televised friendly. This is the midweek friendly against overseas clubs between 1953 and 56. The ratings were huge. It was instrumental to launch the European Cup, now known as the Champions League, in 1955, sir. So they kind of set up these floodlights, got the original Super League TV deal, brought in teams. They played these friendlies. Everyone loved it. And then that's when the European Cup was born. So they're a part of it. Never won it. They started this five, sir, back in the day.
They're OG, and that's amazing. So they just won their first title, and they were, you know, the front runners bringing it to the international stage with the lights, maybe right after the Dell did. I think the Dell was the first to do it. But, you know, an oldie classic club, kind of like the Villas of the world. It fell out a little bit in the most recent times, but they got history, and they got a new owner apparently spending money.
Yeah, they've won the first division in 53, 54, 57, 58, 58, 59. There are big time rivalries with other West Midlands clubs. The Black Country Derby contested with West Bromwich Albion. And although the two clubs have not met since 2011-12, they are set to play. They actually played last season, sir. And their major shareholder, sir, this is interesting. They are owned by a company, called Fosun Group. They're one of the largest privately owned conglomerates in China. They basically own, what we say, Club Med as well. They own a bunch of different things. They own part of Cirque du Soleil. They did $20 billion in revenue in 2021. Huge, giant Chinese conglomerate is their owner. So they have a lot of money. They have deep pockets, but they're thinking about the bottom line, like the Glazers.
No, it's kind of like, best case scenario, what the Glazers would have should been, you know, like actually running like a well-functioning company instead of just bleeding it dry like a trust fund or a piggy bank. So they seem to have a kind of a slow, methodical way of investing in the club. It doesn't look like they're dropping down to the championship anytime soon. They have good recruitment. It's like a little bit of a Portuguese feeder club with all the Portuguese talent they have coming in through the door. So they've certainly gotten their shit together. They did pop up a little bit when we first started watching United in the early 2000s, Wolves, and then kind of dropped off. But ever since this Chinese conglomerate picked them up, they have been a presence and seem like they will continue to be.
Sir, and they got rid of Nuno, who's now at Tottenham. He was their sort of the Portuguese whisperer. He's the coach that kind of did everything for this squad. Now they have Bruno Lage. I'm going to say I'm absolutely butchering that name. Never heard his name before. He's the coach of Wolves. He's implemented a 3-4-3. Very interesting stuff. Very aggressive. They play Tottenham very aggressive. They're going to play United very aggressive. But look, we're in luck. The last five matches, we've won three, drawn two, sir. We have great form against Wolverhampton at the moment. Coming in this game, they lost to Leicester. They lost to Tottenham. They battered Nottingham Forest. Jimmy Gardner's Nottingham Forest yesterday. So, sir, you know, they had EFL Cup second round. This week, midweek, probably a lot of rotation. They're coming to United, sir. We're going to be fresher. We're going to be ready to rock. I think we're going to have to win this game. So this is must-win territory for Manchester United. And the title, you're thinking the title, this is must-win, right?
We have to win these games. You know, the easy stretch, and you don't want to call Wolves are not an easy side, but the teams that we play
stretch
in these first five, six games are the winnable matches where we got to be picking up points. So now it's tougher to go on the road compared to last year. You know, having the fans back, they're going to be a presence. They're going to be making their voices heard and all new. But I think what's important is for United to start on the front foot, make their presence known early, attack, 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 go for it, and get those United away fans behind them and kind of stifle the Molyneux home crowd. So we know what United have to do. They got to be bold. They got to play with risks, take risks, but not underestimate this side because Wolves are, I think they're back in form, right? Their star man, their striker is back in it, and I think they're just...
Well, they're 0-2 in the league, sir.
The close matches against good sides.
No,
right?
Leicester
City and Tottenham are tough teams.
I'm going to say, they're better than their record, right? They are not their record at this point. They're a good team, and they're playing at home, sir, and we drew Southampton, sir. You know, we're talking about Southampton on this podcast. It's like, I'm nervous.
They're better than Southampton.
Of course they are. That's what I'm saying. We drew with Southampton. Southampton is going to be like 16, like, you know, 15. You don't put any respect on Wolves' name, sir, but
You're shaking in your boots. I put respect
on their name. Watched the Tottenham match.
You did not. That doesn't mean I've watched Wolves play before. I respect Wolves, but there are a lot better teams in the Premier League than Wolves, and we have to be able to deal with the Wolves. So
now I agree we're the better team.
I'm not confident at the moment after the way we played against Southampton, but this is a big opportunity for us to kind of like punch back and say United is here. We can deal with the mid-table fodder, and they're one of them, so we have to be able to beat them. But you're right. They could smack us around.
Sir, we're better than Southampton is what my point. So we're obviously better than Wolves. We should beat them. And I think this team has to, you know, to step up at Southampton at St. Mary's is different than asking you to step up at the Molyneux. So we've had a rough time playing them. We have recent good form against Wolves, new manager and everything in between. But Jimenez healthy, Traore is a beast. They have a bunch of new players, young kids, Trincao. He plays on the right wing, sir. Semedo, Neves, Matinho in the middle of the park, sir. It's going to be a tight game. You look at Leicester 1-0, Tottenham 1-0. I think you're going to see something similar from United. I think it's going to be cagey. They're going to get a lot of shots. The question is, can we close them down? Can we basically defend well and then hit them on the counter? Wolves are playing the 3-4-3. You don't often see, sir, this all in formation. The back line, Cody, number 16. He's the anchor in the back three when they're on attack. You have Matinho and Neves, the two midfielders. Semedo on the right, Trincao as well. Jimenez through the middle at number nine. Traore and Marcal on the left. When they're in attack, it's the 3-2-5, sir. They also overload the weak side as well. Semedo, Trincao, Jimenez, Traore, Jimenez, and Trincao all playing very up top, very deep in the final third. And then you have Semedo cutting in as well as Marcel on the left. We're going to be having to defend. I think Ole is going to play McFred for this purpose and then look to hit Wolves on the break. When they're defending, they play the back five and Matinho and Neves in front of them. They're going to be hard to break down. So like I said, it's going to be pretty cagey. They're going to come out. We're going to be basically have to play out the back, sir. United has struggled at that this season. And I think it's going to be a difficult game for United. They're going to play to our weaknesses, sir. They're going to make us build up under pressure, pressing us, overloads. It's going to be really intense.
No, and I think we have to be able to, it's good synopsis, sir. Technical breakdown. I like that. We're going to have to be able to do the things that we didn't do well against Southampton, well against Wolves, right? Counter their high press. When you actually take the ball off them and try and counter the team, the passing has to be much more crisp because a lot of our passing and build up play or counterattack efforts kind of got shut down early just by some scratchy passing in that midfield of the park. So it's going to be a big game, big test for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I think it's ready to bring in the new boys. The guns that have been brought in this summer, the only two real major signings, it's time to use them. Varane, I don't think he's going to test Varane quite yet, but I think even that, the assurance and the calmness that he would bring to this side, you know, Wolves always have goals in them, and they're the kind of team that score early and then make it tough for you to break them down and then be really dangerous on the counter as well.
No, absolutely, and that's essentially why we got to handle the pressure coming out. They're going to come out on the front foot. They outshot Spurs 25-8, total passes 394-284, and in the final third, Wolves had 132 passes to Spurs 45. What Spurs did well is they were able to get at them on the break, right? They're defending with three. Their wing backs are high up the pitch. If you get the ball in transition, like a Paul Pogba can get Sancho in behind, get Greenwood behind, we could open them up and go run riot just like we did at Leeds. They're going to go for it, right? And I think we need to defend solidly, right? They're going to be putting in a lot of balls into Jimenez. That was part of the strategy. Him and Traore back post as well because they're getting those front three up. So it's going to test our back line, sir. I think Varane is going to be critical. If you think about the winning narrative, Varane will be critical there. Him and Maguire will do a great job defending. We'll hit him on the counter, Pogba, a little class, and we'll be able to win that way. I think that is how we're going to be able to play. But things United need to work on from Southampton, playing the ball out the back. I mean, we are absolutely terrible at this. Southampton had a great strategy. They essentially let our defenders have the ball, and whenever they pass it to each side, they took away the middle of the park. They took away Fred and Matic. They left Shaw and Wan-Bissaka open, the ball would go in, and then they aggressively press the strong side. Wolves know this. Look for this. I think we should be playing Pogba in the two to help alleviate. Switch out Fred for Pogba. When you're building up, I think Pogba can handle the ball under pressure, be able to help us get out the back. We were struggling so much with this. Modish and Fred cannot do it. McTominay, Fred is probably a stretch. You put Pogba in there, he can do it. He looks better on the, he looks lights out on the left wing. But if you saw against Southampton, we could not pass it out of the back. Ole is just going to keep putting the square peg in the round hole here. I'd be trying to go long in some fashion if you're under pressure away. But this, to me, something to look for. United have to be able to play out the back smoothly against the press from Wolves because it is coming.
And you'd almost argue, right? Pogba can do a really good job in the middle of the park. Another player that can do a really good job that won't get a sniff on Sunday, definitely from a starting position, is Donny Van
de Beek. Of course.
He would be perfect in the middle of the park.
I didn't say it because he just doesn't play.
Yeah, I know. But he should play because that would be great. And then you could still play Pogba in the front four. You don't have to play Martial, who's not in form at the moment, probably shouldn't be starting. And you have Rafael Varane, ready to make his debut for Manchester United, sir, and bail out the midfield. You know, Pogba loses the ball or Donny loses the ball a couple times. He'll be there and kind of backing up our man, slabhead Harry Maguire. Do we think we're going to see that? I think we're going to see a combo of that. Hopefully we see Varane start. Hopefully he sees a little bit more of an adventurous midfield because we have it. We just got to use it.
But it's lazy too. The passing out the back was very lazy from our center backs. It was lazy. Like Shaw and Wan-Bissaka were isolated. They got closed down and then it literally had to go to Matic and Fred. And it was just, it was tough to watch. In that situation, you know, I like the idea of putting Pogba there because you'd rather have more attacking presence. You know, he could do the job defending. I really think having Pogba, he could unlock this game as well as going forward. You think about Sancho and Greenwood, maybe even a James, right? James would be great to compete, defend with their wing backs, and then try to hit them on the counter. So I'm thinking this has to be counter pace up front, looking at Pogba to unlock it, playing that role, helping United get out of the Wolves press from the build-up play, because that was huge. Look, if only made the adjustments against Southampton, it's good to be a KG affair, sir. I'm thinking like, you know, I'm not going to predict my score right now, sir. Let's jump into the injuries. Physioroom.com. There are a lot of them. It's early, sir. We're talking about early season. Marcus Rashford, he's back training, which is great to see. Had the surgery, can't play. Cavani should be on the bench, sir. Not probably going to start. Bailly, he's lacking match fitness. Telles, foot injury, he's out. Dean Henderson, COVID. Phil Jones, we all heard the jokes this week.
Is he going to a championship team? I heard he can't even pass a physical.
No, teams want him, but he couldn't pass a fitness test. Embarrassing from Phil Jones. I wish he'd come out and say something. Say, hey, guys, like I could sympathize if it's a legitimate reason. Like, hey, I have really bad injuries. Like, I can't get fit. But it's just a lot of silence. I think he got the deal because he's boys with Eddie, honestly. Him and Ed Woodward, you see him together laughing. Dude, he's boys with Ed Woodward. I don't know why we gave him that deal in 19. It absolutely perplexed me why we gave him the new deal. Even Bailly gave him the new deal.
Bailly makes more sense than Phil Jones because when he plays, he's been decent. You know, he's always known for a gaff, but his upside is a lot higher than Bailly's, Phil Jones. Phil
Bailly's Jones was gaff like City too.
Yeah, he is. But like two of them are even worse. But doing Phil Jones in 19 till 2023 is egregious and madness.
Sir, we went through the injuries. We went through the breakdown on how Wolves are going to set up, what we need to work on. What is your lineup?
So this is, you know, I'm a bit of hopeful and thinking what Ole will do. So this is what I got for you. I got De Gea in net, world number one, back four, AWV. Let's go. Rafael Varane, you're new number 19. How about number four when Phil Jones leaves? There we go. Maguire, Shaw. McFred, I just think he's going to go with that old blanket, nice and warm. Pogba, Bruno, Sancho, Greenwood. Let's go, baby. Should be enough for a very tight match.
Sir, it's a disease blanket. You know,
it's a warm blanket. It's not disease. It's just it's kind of musty. It's like kind of like
the team. It's killing the team. I'm going to say De Gea, AWB, Varane, Maguire, Shaw, McTominay, Pogba in the two. Let's go, Ole. Let's make a move. Like, I want to see something from him. Bruno, Sancho, Greenwood, James, sir. Sancho on the left. James on the right. Greenwood through the hole. It's all on Pogba and Bruno. Unlock those three. You got pace. Wolves are going to push up. They're going to be vulnerable, sir. You have to be going for this one in some sort of fashion. I want to see a lineup with some from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, especially considering we got Mike Dean as the ref, sir.
Brutal.
He's going to have a mare, and I think it's going to hurt United, sir. It's just, I hate that ref.
Usually does.
Absolute Muppet. Wolves, the bookies, Wolves to win plus 450, United to win minus 140. We're heavy favorites here. I mean, if anyone is a neutral, you bet Wolves. The draw plus 260 as well. Given those are the odds, what are your score predictions?
I think tight KG match. Talked about it all day. 1-0. United need to get back to winning ways by hook or by crook. Maybe it's not always pretty. Bruno Fernandes, penalty. Classico, like old times.
Sir, when Southampton switched to a back three, or really defending with a back five against us in the second half, our XG was like nothing, like 0.2. I think we're going to have to break down Wolves. I'm going to say Wolves win 1-0, sir. I think that...
Wow, this guy's making a loss prediction against Wolverhampton Wanderers.
It's away. It's away. The record falls. Wolves away. And you know, sir, sometimes you predict something and then the other thing happens.
So you bet that plus 450?
No, I am not. Sir, that is enough of Wolves. I cannot wait for the match. Sir, I'm obviously rooting we win. But again, I predicted the draw. Then you get the win. You predict the loss. You get the big win, sir. I'm trying to sort of play some games with my predictions. Either way, let's get into the crazy Muppetry. United in the news. Actually, we're not getting the Muppetry yet. We're going to talk about Carabao Cup, sir. EFL. Manchester United will play West Ham. Sir, the fixture will be September 20th in the third round. How you feeling? EFL Cup. That seems like the ceiling for United this year. What do you say?
Hey, I take a Carabao Cup. I take a Carabao Cup all day. Competition in the league, I'd like to be close. We should be in a title challenge at least. You don't have to win it. We should be in a challenge with this side. West Ham, they're not a bad side these days. David Moyes settled in very nicely to a mid-table club with aspirations of Europe, and they got a pretty good team. They may be even better if they had Jesse Lingard
They're good.
They're a good team, for sure. So that's a challenging draw if you think about it in Carabao Cup, considering they're still lower league sides in the mix. But, hey, United got to be able to beat West Ham. I think they were playing them anyway in September as well in the league. So double matchup.
So we've had those before. Right now it says we play them on September 19th. Then we play them that week of September 20th. So Tuesday or Wednesday, we're going to play West Ham. Again, EFL Cup, need a trophy, Ole. Don't matter which one it is. As long as it's not Hans and Franz.
Yeah, exactly.
Take
me back to Gdansk.
But here's the deal. It's like, let's go, big boy pants. Time to win some trophies. I mean, time to win some silverware. EFL is the time to do it. That's exactly the cup and competition United should be looking for. Sad but true, sir. Speaking about sad but true, Fabrizio Romano, aka the Truth on transfers, tweeted out: Cristiano's agent Mendes is in Torino. He's looking for options for Ronaldo. PSG not interested. Mendes approached Manchester City to sign Ronaldo. No bid. Juve won 30 million euros. City are not intention to pay any fee and want to keep Gabriel Jesus. That means no swap deal. They don't want to pay a fee. They just want to take on Ronaldo's wages, sir. I mean, no fee and just his wages? That sounds like a pretty good deal. Why wouldn't Manchester United be interested, sir?
I don't know. I think I would imagine if that deal goes down, the only reason that, because United would match those wages, you know, for Ronaldo, it'd be worth it because Ed Woodward's all about the tweets and the impressions on social media. That's what he tells the investors all the time, which is a riot.
Sir, we got to get the C. You got to get the Ronaldo C here.
I'll tell you what, we won't be playing that much longer if he goes to the City. But there's no reason we can't match it financially. You know that. I know that. And I know that even the Glazers were pointing up for this because has a little bit of like the whole, Tom Brady move, like bring Tom Brady in and go win something. But this would be him basically choosing City because he sees City as a more likely guarantee for the most important piece of silverware in club football, which is Champions League.
We're just not.
I don't think that's true at all. Yeah. I think he wants to go to City because they're closer to winning the Champions League than we are. And that's what he cares about.
So, before we get into what you think. That's like you saying United are not in for him. Or he wants to go to City over United. That has not been reported anywhere on the internet. The next thing that Romano did reply here, he says, the issue is the 31 million euro net salary per season. So essentially because of the taxes in the UK, that salary is going to be like 50 million pounds. So it's going to be a lot more than it would be because it's all net. When you look at Ronaldo, he's like, how much am I getting after taxes? I basically don't care where I live. I just care about the net. And the 30 million fee to Juventus is the issue. Man City are not willing to pay these figures. If conditions will be different in the next hours and days, who knows? So it's not about Ronaldo. He wants to move to City. City just won't pay for him. That's insane. Ronaldo is okay with going to Manchester City, sir? Manchester City? Ronaldo is okay with that? This is just as a fan of
Ronaldo. You're a big fan.
I'm a fan of Ronaldo, sir. You're a Rooney guy. He's got the blackout city, arrest in the airport.
That's better than going to City,
Ronaldo
bro.
Wants to go. Like, how could anyone like of this stature, obviously we know Law, we know Schmeichel, we know the players that have gone across the city, but that's when City weren't even a big deal, sir. City are coming back. So they win in the league. United are struggling, and you're going to go to Man City like you never played for us, sir. I mean, imagine Old Trafford if he walked in wearing that baby bitch blue.
I mean, I don't know if there is a proper analogy in sport about like how quickly his idolhood, even you included, sir. I'm looking at that kid. That kid's leaving. That kid is leaving this room if he signs up in the baby blue of Qatar Airways and Manchester City. I just can't think of a sports analogy where someone like did that, like that dirty to a team. And I'm sure there is. I'm sure there are like plenty of analogies in American sports, but that's pretty dirty to America, to Manchester United fans, and they will never forgive him, bro. They whistle at it. It'll be something to see. It'll be a spectacle. I'll put it that way.
No, it's just as a fan, this one, look. Look, should he want to sign Harry Kane? Like, who cares? Like, honestly, like, exactly. Watch All or Nothing. Hear what that guy has to say. You know, like, look at everything he did with his move as well. Like, just complete bumpkin. Can't win it. Can't show up in a final. Can't do it. Harry Kane, when it's not on the line, he can get anything done. But when it is, he just absolutely wilts. They could have Harry Kane, sir. They can't have Ronaldo. Probably top five to ever wear the shirt at Old Trafford. When you and me became fans, the Rooney, Ronaldo, Tevez, Sir Alex, sir, it's like that's like the best times there were. We haven't been back since he left. We've never been the same since we left. He's come back. He's beat us. He's celebrated. He's used us to negotiate new deals, sir. He's been trolling us this whole time. And it's like, fine, man. Like, that sucks enough that you don't respect the club. And to be fair, I think he's kind of separated Sir Alex Ferguson from the club, where he totally respects Fergie. And if Fergie was the manager, probably wouldn't do something like this. But he doesn't give a shit about Manchester United. And it's like, I already got that through the signals we've been through. But to do something like this is like Messi going to Madrid, sir. There's like things you just don't do in sport. This one, sir, it's he'll erase his entire legacy at United as one of the greats at the greatest club the world has ever known. And he doesn't care at all about it.
No, and it's a bad look for United to let it happen, because we can't let it happen. And then it ultimately might be a decision that's up to Ronaldo. But the fact that he's pushing for this move, it speaks volumes about the man and what kind of individual he is. It's like if Rooney in 2010, when he was posturing to say, hey, I'll go to City if you don't give me a new bumper contract and start investing in the team, which vis-a-vis was like, we sold Ronaldo, didn't spend any of the money, spent £8 million the following summer, Glazers out. Always and forever, but I'm going on a tirade. If he went to City right then, when still good years left, and was like, fuck it, I'll go to City and we'll win stuff, like that, it would ruin his legacy. He would not be the Wayne Rooney, at least in my mind, that he is today. So this will like forever change everyone's opinion of Cristiano Ronaldo. And he'd become a world superstar at our club, you know, and that's just, it would be tough to swallow. Even for me, who's not a huge Ronaldo fan, but obviously a fan of United and fan of what he did at United. He was such a fun player to watch that season where he bagged 42 goals. That was like the most fun football we've ever played as a United fan in our lifetime.
Exactly. It's just, sir, it's heartbreak. It's to see like Ronaldo just dismiss everything about Manchester United is tough. But you know what? At the end of the day, sir, it comes down just to one thing, you know? Here comes the money.
That's it.
That's it. It honestly comes down to money. It comes down to he's looking for a quick fix. He's looking for the LeBron to the super team to win the title and be like, yeah, like you've lost the plot, Ronaldo. It's like you should be wanting to come home. You should be, obviously, this is Juventus negotiating. The fact that United... So first of all, like, I agree we don't need Ronaldo right now. Like, there's no real tactical reason to sign him, but there is sort of a relevance as far as, like, if we sign Neves and Ronaldo for, and that's 55 million, call it, right? 55 million spend? Sir, we're instant title contenders. Maybe favors for the title with Neves and Ronaldo on the side.
I mean, you could argue we could be title contenders with just one of those two players, even Neves and or Ronaldo, either one.
No, but we're not a lot of money. It's not a lot of money to sign him. And then you talk about the boost, the appeal. Like, sir, I absolutely love it. You know, Ronaldo coming home, last dance, whole thing. Like, so much momentum behind the club, the branding, all this stuff would be amazing.
Where do you play him? The whole point is then, like, you have Greenwood, you have Cavani. You play him at Cavani 9. Doesn't play at all.
Greenwood plays on the right. Cavani's going to give you 18 games. You got a lot of matches to play. Ronaldo's older as well. You can rest and exchange the two, and you put him at 9. He's a striker, number 9.
But then you re-sack Ivana. I know. It's just hard to do. And then you stifle Greenwood. You have
Sancho.
You
sign Ronaldo for 2 years.
You have Rashford coming in.
Dude, Cavani's done at the end of the year. He's probably going to get injured. Like, I don't think he's the number nine solution.
I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I think we should do it. But the Glazers came in by CDM. Came in by Kieran Trippier. It's like, they're not doing this because they're cheap. And they don't really care about spending enough money to challenge and win Champions Leagues and win trebles. They just care about doing enough to appease the fans, which they know they have in some regards, signing Sancho and Varane. And they don't need to go the extra level, because if they did, they would sign a CDM of high quality that can contribute to the team right away. And even for shits and giggles, if Ronaldo's up, they're like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
it's not that much money. It's 50 million. It's like not that much money for a team that is just making so much cash, and they've pulled so much out. It's pulled so much out.
Sir, some of Fergie's game in the league back in the day was take the best player from a competitor. Taking Ronaldo from shitty, that helps United. It helps United. If you're trying to win the title, the real issue here, sir, the Ronaldo stuff, we're just being Muppets. Like, you know, I love Ronaldo. He goes to shitty. We'll cover it. Holy shit, this might happen. This is unbelievable how all the cards fall on the last day. And you totally would think, as a United fan and him, he'd come back for one more go. When he left, I thought he'd come back eventually, one or two seasons, go to MLS. It'd be the perfect send-off. You'd love to see it, and for him to go to shitty is like a nightmare compared to that scenario. I mean, it would be rough for him never to come back, but to go to shitty is just, sir, it's the dagger. It's the dagger. They go win the title. Ronaldo's winning the title with shitty. Sir, that's a rough look. I also think there's an ego part where Messi gets the move to PSG. He's jealous because he's at Italy. Nobody really cares.
Juventus isn't doing anything. PSG's making waves. City's making waves. They just bought.
So he wants to go try to win the Champions League again, like you said. So it's like, what does Ronaldo care about? He cares about Ronaldo, Ronaldo, and Ronaldo. And that's it. As far as this, he's looking for trophies. He's looking for that last Champions League to compete with Messi. He'll do whatever it takes. He doesn't care what shirt he wears. He's thinking about that. He's thinking a GOAT status battle with Messi. Nothing else matters. You know he's an egomaniac.
He makes a great villain. He's about to be.
He wears that shirt, bro. I'll tell you what, they better have extra security. People are going to go fucking nuts.
But that's good. I don't want it to happen, but if it did.
City fans is just going to be dumb. It's going to be bad. Maybe
they might finally sell out their stadium.
Sir, I can handle the losing to Villarreal. I don't know if I can handle this. You know,
this is too much because it changes everything. They got a Ronaldo jersey in the room. That goes, bro. He goes to City. That's gone.
I have six shirts that I'll have to get rid of. Nobody wants them. I can't burn them. This jersey is like 13 years old. In condition.
It's sick.
Champions League 1968-07-08. Sir, European Cup commemorative shirt. It's like
John's having a hard day. A lifelong Ronaldo fan. That's getting done dirty. We were trying to think of
acknowledges before we got on. 07-08 jersey on the wall. You said we had to take it down. We got to take it down.
We do. Of course we have to take it down. Because of City. It's, yeah.
All right.
Ronaldo, that was the news that happened today.
We'll have
an update by Sunday. I'll tell you that.
Let's talk. We'll talk CDM first. Clearly, you want to talk Ronaldo. Like, we're Muppets. Why would you want Ronaldo? The CDM almost kind of goes into that as well. The issue for me is the Glazers don't have the intent in the window to win the league. They have the intent to just do enough. Like, hey, you prioritized right wing, so maybe this year we might get one. And then you need a center back, and in a year and a half, we'll get you Varane. But now we need a CDM. Matic is aging. Fred didn't come off. Like, there's got to be urgency to move now. Anyone looking at this side playing is looking at the pieces to win this season. The league is up this season, sir. United can be a serious contender. There's clearly a missing piece. We have a director of football, and to hear crickets, sell to buy bullshit from the Glazers. You've heard it on the podcast. We've covered the financials, sir. The credit card is maxed out. That's why we're sell to buy.
Yep.
That's why we're sell to buy, because of the balance sheet, the secondary offering that Avram Glazer did, took $90 million out of the club, sir. They treat this like it's their private piggy bank. There's no urgency to win right now. It's completely the opposite of what they're doing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And United need to win now. This is the time to do it. The window's open. You can see we need this position. You got to get it done. And they won't, sir. And they won't. So where's the intent? That's what makes me the most upset is the Glazers, the boardroom, again, just not syncing up on what this team needs and really letting Ole hang out to dry. If you got to play Fred and Modric in the midfield, Not enough. Not good enough. You're not good enough for United.
No, you're not going to win nothing with that. And it's what it is. Nothing's changed, right? Super League, the protests, breaking into Old Trafford. It's like they haven't learned a thing. These signings they made, they know that that would be enough. They're like, we'll get two big names in. We'll drag our feet at the end of the window with other players that we need to do in order to make the push to challenge truly for titles. The league's competitive. Chelsea strengthened in a major way. We did strengthen, but we haven't strengthened the same way they have in the last couple of years before this year. And every transfer we've been waiting to do, like you said, Maguire was a year late. Sancho was a year late. Blue Holland, Murtaugh, where are you doing? There's different time zones in Europe. Like, get a book. This one, dude, we need a CDM now. That means it will not happen now.
It will happen next year.
So next year we'll get a CDM and we'll miss out on Holland. And then the following year, maybe we'll get Harry Kane.
But you're right, because it's literally like you got to do it all now because Pogba's leaving. Cavani deal's done. Lingard's going to go. Fred Matic is going to go.
Right.
The thing is, it gets worse over time, and that's why there's ample opportunity to do deals. We don't have the sense of urgency, sir. We're absolutely dying. Hashtag lasers out. Next bit of news, Fabrizio Romano, Harry Kane staying at Tottenham. This one, sir, you just got to have a little laugh at Harry Kane. The clapping the fans off, crying at the stadium, thinking it's his last game. Playing golf with Gary Neville, saying he's going to move. Gentleman's agreement with like the most ruthless negotiator in world football. Gentleman's agreement, LOL. 6-year deal, LOL. Harry Kane, LOL. I mean, just everything about it is just Harry Kane, be Harry Kanan. And now he ruined the chemistry with the fans. The players he plays with, you look at Spurs, I watch them play Wolves, so they're going to be a good side. And Harry, like, you sign the 6-year deal, you should just stay the whole, like, sitting out. He looks like a fool now. Total fool.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Spurs fans are not Manchester United fans. They will welcome him back with open arms.
Of course.
Because he's, like, one of two big names they have. They got nobody else. So they're a solid team. They're a top 6 side. But they're going to be like, oh, well, Harry Kane's scoring goals again. They will get over it very quickly.
No, they're going to get over it, but it's the issue of, like, keeping players who don't want to stay, it's tricky. It's tricky, sir. You know, I prefer to sell players who don't want to stay because I think it's a cancer. It just, that culture, how can you really be a part of it if you don't want to be there? It's a slippery slope. Ole has seemed to navigate it okay when it comes to Paul P, but I think he's thinking about the money when he goes on a free. Next bit of news here, United per Bild coming out of Germany. United in pole position to sign Erling Haaland next year, sir. Bild say that Dortmund will surely part ways next year because of the release clause. Mina Real is going to pull it, sir. That's where United come into the mix. Apparently, we are in the pole position. They say confidently we're in the pole position for Haaland's signature. They make no mention as of why or the case. They just say we are the front runner. You got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's got the 3-year deal. Mina Raiola, Pogba. Sir, we hate Mina Raiola, I guess. Here, we didn't sign him last time because of agents' fees.
Those aren't going
away.
Now
we're
going
to double the agents' fees, and we're still going to sign him. Like, this proves that Woodward's a liar. Obviously, we all knew that. But then you would have the buyout clause, et cetera, et cetera. He wants huge money, sir, like $1 million a week. How are we going to – we're not going to blow up our wage structure like we did with Sanchez here. I mean, I'm nervous about this deal because Real is a part of it. That's all.
No, I don't think this deal is happening because of the money being touted. Because if we were going to sign him, we would have signed him earlier. Two chances, blew both. Like you said, everything's going up. Agent fees are going up. His dad wants $20 million, dude, just for being his dad, which is a good deal, I guess. That is awesome. So why not? He wants $1 million a week. He wants the Ronaldo money. He wants Messi money. And he's just, dude, he's a great player, great prospect. But he ain't won no Champions League, and he's just like has a couple years in him. So does he deserve $1 million a year? Probably not, but will he get it? Some of the oil-rich super clubs? Probably. So I don't think we're getting Haaland because I think we're going to be priced out of Haaland. And if United is not willing to go toe-to-toe for the Ronaldos that kind of make a big wave in world football, kind of like puff your chest out back at City and say, we're still here. Do not forget about us. The Haaland deal will do the same thing, but I don't see us going that all the way because United, the player to want to move to United, that's what they have with Sancho, that's what they have with Varane, Harry Maguire, it's like Bruno Fernandes. I don't think he's that, he wants to get paid, dude, and win. And we can win and pay him, but not as much as some of the other clubs can.
No, this is like a deal that, you know, first of all, we did negotiate with Dortmund for Sancho. That process took a long time. We are in contact. We surely have contacted him. Ole's in contact with Holland himself. I think there's a few angles as well. And like, this could be a deal. I'm sure that when it comes to that type of wage, image rights, etc., lots of different add-ons that could be added to the mix with Holland and United. But it could happen. You have to say Shitty's now in as well. So the big part of the Harry Kane fumble is now Shitty's going to be in for Holland. You all know Roy Keane ended his father's career. I mean, absolute savage tackle from Roy Keane. So there's a lot of angles on this one, but Shitty will be involved. We're going to be involved. I doubt PSG is going to be in line because of Messi and everything. They seem to be rating Pogba over Holland. So it's probably two-horse race between us. Actually, three-horse. Bayern, Shitty, and us, but apparently we are one of the top horses in this race. And a lot can change in this season.
Yeah, this is like conjecture coming out of Germany.
Build's pretty solid, though.
No, they are, but here's the thing. PSG will be in it because they're losing Mbappe. Mbappe's going to Real Madrid either this year on a huge deal or going for free. His mind's made up. So they're going to be in for a striker because they need a striker. They need a big name. He could be in the mix. It's going to be the three-horse race. Lukaku has a team. I think we're going to be priced out, but he'll be a hell of an addition to this team. You look unbelievable in red, and our front three and four would be like set up for, you know, if all things go your way, like 7 years solid.
City, they have more money to spend on big players. Is it possible that one day, if they gave you the right offer, you could play for them, all out of respect for United?
You think the money going to change my mind now with 13 years old? I don't think so. I think this is not going to be the problem. Because if you will speak about the money, I will go to Qatar. Maybe probably they have more money than Manchester City, but it's not about the money, it's about the passion.
City, they have more money to spend on big players. Is it possible that one day...
Destroy this, not join them! Bring balance to the force, not leave it in darkness!
How could he, sir? How could he? How could he? Absolutely heartbreaking. He said the money is not going to change his mind.
It's for the passion, but he wants to win. He thinks City's going to put him in a better position to win. The man's about to show his true colors, I'll tell you that.
Sir, let's jump into a fan question at Dave Paws on Twitter. Quote, we need to win in this game. Hope he puts Pogba back in midfield. You read my mind. I would play Sancho on the right, DJ left, and Mason... and money Mason through the middle unless Cavani is fit. Me and Dave, we are thinking on the same wavelength there. I like the speed up top counter. At Ty Kircher, hoping for another offensive response after last weekend. Do you think Ole starts Varane and Sancho? Sir, what do you make?
I don't think he does. I think he's going to hold off on Varane, but he should. It's time. The boys are ready. He's a fit guy. He's a pro. He's like Eddie. Eddie could start and play 60 minutes, no problem, because he's fit as a fiddle.
Sorry, you love the contrast between who's the crazy manager of Chelsea?
Tuchel.
Who's that lunatic? He's like, we sign him to play, he plays. And then we're like, maybe Varane will start in a couple of months. You never know.
It's about time.
You got to play him. You got to play him.
No, it's time.
We
need a win.
Sancho
should have
started
win.
Against Southampton.
No, he
should have.
100%.
Will he stick to the 4-2-3-1 with McFred until he sees what Varane can do with Slabhead before trying the 4-3-3? Hoping for three big points Sunday. Let's get that away record. I think he's going to do the 4-2-3-1, but put Sancho and Varane in with McFred. I think so. You'll see a little upgrade. You got to get Varane and Maguire doing it. Right away. You got to start it. It's going to be a little cagey, but you just got to jump right in. Come on, you're world class. Let's go. Next tweet here, at you, Boson. Quote, I hope the Wolves game will be Sancho's time to shine. Totally agree. Also, who are you guys giving the armband in fantasy? Cheers, sir.
It's always Bruno Fernandes. It's the only choice.
Yeah, it's like.
Until Ronaldo comes back because he used to be the captain back
sir,
in the day. Remember
shut
that?
Up, bro.
It'll be slugging them in for those City Blues.
You know how sad it is?
It's
like
so bad.
You know how sad it is? Is like I actually like there's 2% of me that believes that at a miracle end the transfer would be United swooping in and getting Ronaldo back and all will be well and all will be right in the universe, sir.
I can hope and pray.
I can hope, sir. I can hope. It's Mr. Zeller to you. Two questions. If we don't sign anyone as a defensive midfielder, is anyone on the current roster that you think can do the job effectively to win a title? Who can do it, sir? Who can play that position?
Maybe like a fit Matic if you like sub him a lot and use McFred as needed for certain teams, but like I think even him, he isn't being relied on the same way and not necessarily put in the position to succeed by having a Pogba next to him. So I don't think there's probably anyone than the McFred deal. Who you got, sir?
McTominay could do it, sir. I think he's talking about a solo defensive midfielder.
Exactly.
I think McTominay could do it. He plays center back in a three for Scotland. He's got the grit. He's got the effort, sir. He'll run through a wall for this club. I think he's got the skill. Can he do it today? No. Could he potentially do it? You know, like anything you got to learn. I think he's great. 6'4", sir. He's got a shot. He's got speed, track back. He's got grit. I love it. You got to try him there.
I'd love to see it because you know what? Give him a chance. We went with McFred for a while. Why not play him with Pogba and the attacking players exactly. We talked about this weekend with Varane back there? I think you made a good point though. I think he will try the Varane combo with the added protection of McFred just to like give them a chance and not have Varane have a howler with some of Traore just like Yoke City.
If you saw how Wolves played against Tottenham, he's playing McFred. It's just how it's going to be. The way that Wolves pin Tottenham back, sir, you're going to need that type of structure to be able to hit them on the counter. Second question here, if we sign anyone like Neves or Saul, is this even the right type of player? It's like we're always trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. First of all, watch Neves against us. I guarantee you, like, this is why it's so difficult to be a Manchester United fan right now, because if Fergie was the manager, we'd be playing Wolves, and Neves will have, like, an amazing match. Guaranteed. Fucking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Playing against United, he's going to play absolute lights out, and there will be no doubt in anyone's mind that Manchester should be signing that player then and there. I absolutely guarantee you he had a banger of a game his first two games. He's playing lights out. He's going to look great against us, and we should sign him, and we won't.
And we should sign him for another reason. He's the one I want of the two names you mentioned. Absolutely. I do want Neves, Premier League proven Portuguese connect. He's a better passer. He's got a banger in him. He's actually like more of a pure play CDM than Sal, who's a utility player. But all four of the CDMs we've been attached to, actually, before I make that point, is Neves could have a belter of a year and Wolves could go on a run and his feet could double. He's only 24. He's got more upside. So I think it's like right now they kind of seem like they want to do a deal. We should take advantage of that. But literally, there's been four CDMs. The new one today in the mix is a player I've mentioned before, Yves Bissouma.
There's another one?
Yeah, another one. I take all four of them. There are merits of all four of them, whether
I'll
they're
take anybody.
Ruben Neves, Saul, Camavinga, or Bissouma. They're all good, and they would all do a great job, and they'd all offer extra competition for this side. But we're not going to. Sorry, the Glazers, baby. Glazers out. Got to get the Glazers out. Where's that rap?
Sir, hashtag Glazers that look, it's going to be a crazy end of the window. I didn't think I'd be sweating Ronaldo to shitty, I'll tell you. Like, I was just like, I basically had like come to the end of the window where I'm like, all right, United aren't signing anyone else. Like, that sucks. But you know what? I'll take it and just get on with the season. And then all of a sudden, like, your ex-girl comes back and starts like hooking up with your best friend. It's just a tough look, sir. It's a tough look. Messi going to Real Madrid. That'd be like Steven Gerrard coming to Manchester United. You know, it's just not. It's just certain players' loyalty. It's dying. Loyalty's dying. It's only oil money. People see. It's absolutely crazy. And look at Messi. He bankrupted Barcelona. They paid him $150 million a year. He took the money. Clubs in shambles. Went to another oil-rich club. It's crazy. The money game in football. It's like loyalty is absolutely dead. It's just like it's all about oil-rich wealth that can basically dominate and pay these guys so much money. I just hope that neither of these clubs, shitty or PSG, win the Champions League.
That is a good point, because that does kind of like it is a bit, it's not the best look for it's a little bit different, right? Because Barcelona, he wanted to stay, but the whole like wage thing with La Liga, so it's not quite the same, but this feels like a direct spit in the face if it was to
but
happen.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, he did bankrupt Barcelona and said, thanks for the dollar
they
bills.
Also they bankrupted to themselves, to be
yes,
fair.
Yes, I know,
they,
but he took a lot of bad 600.
Deals. Dembele, Griezmann on $800K a week.
Sir, like they, four-year they deal.
I agree.
Four-year deal, $600 million.
They gave it to him, sir. They gave him the money. But I'd take that money.
I understand, but they paid him the biggest contract in the history of sports, sir. Mahomes is making like 47, and Messi was making $150 million a year, and the club literally is BK, and they can't pay him, and he's like went to PSG, the oil-rich conglomerate that can pay him a lot of money. And you know what's actually interesting about all this coming full circle? Super League, sir. Super League was probably a way to clap back at these clubs that have all this oil money because they saw where it's going, like all this debt. You know, it's going to be due. Look at Manchester United. Look at the debt, the interest, the dividends. Everything is hampering our ability to go out and compete in this transfer window. Look, Arsenal spent more than us. It's crazy.
Oh, it's true, and there's no financial fair play, so in many ways, this is probably going to get worse, right? So they're going to be more consolidation of power in teams that really, they have no history. They're kind of like their PR fronts for bad mamajamas, and that's just the way it is, and it seems to be getting worse. It seems like the pandemic accelerated that, and it's like the coalition of power is really happening in a major way, and if they were to land Ronaldo, bro, City's going to sell out stadiums again, like for the first time in 100 years, bro, since like they won the title before we did in the early 1900s. Like they will be selling out that shithole of a stadium for the first time in ever.
Sometimes neighbors are noisy.
Hey, you know, keep it down. Keep it down over there.
Keep it down. Too noisy.
Look, you like the American Red Devils. We're for fans, by fans. You want to support the podcast, check us out on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. We have some great fan-generated blog content there. Shout out to all of our writers. It's amazing. We also got our new song survival guide up there. Click on songs. You can see all the United songs. If you want us to add one, you can reach out on social. Write a review on iTunes. Sir, give them the top downloads last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? We're all United Kingdom. Number two, Daytona Beach, Florida. Reno, Nevada. The Villages, Florida. Chicago, Illinois. San Francisco, California. New York, New York. Sir, it's been a hell of a day. Hell of a New York, New York.
Oh, here we go. Aruba's on the...
Aruba. Orangestad, Aruba. Appreciate you.
Shout out to you for making Alex pronounce your city name.
I didn't do as bad as I did on New York, a city I've lived in. Orlando, Florida. Denver, Colorado. And I think we got a little place called Dublin, Ireland below that at 11. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. Sorry this turned into a Ronaldo rant, but it's big news happening in the transfer window and some reason.
Sir,
United's
no
not attached to it.
Sir,
you know,
no,
this guy.
Sir, no apologies.
That one Ronaldo fan. He's going to cry if that happens.
If you look at the Mount Rush top five Manchester United players of all time, Charlton, Best.
Keane, Cantona. Best.
Ronaldo's on that top five.
Most talented players are the most important players in Manchester United? Because he's not in the top five of that.
Top five most valuable, which means, as I would define it, drove United to the most silverware, you know, at goals to silverware ratio. Ronaldo's up top five.
He's not ahead of Rooney, bro.
Rooney's on the list. Ronaldo, Rooney, Charlton, Best, and then
Cantona.
And then you got the
Keane.
Yeah, maybe Cantona. Obviously, you leave Scholes off.
Giggs. Giggs won a lot.
Yeah, Giggs.
He's a dirty dog, but he won a shit ton.
Has some issues.
I know. He's got issues. We
don't talk about Giggs a lot. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's, it's really interesting. You'd have to pick someone from 99. You'd have to pick someone from 68 and then 08, right?
So, and 92, right? You got to it's got to be Cantona probably.
No, but you're talking European Cups. You know, the European, sir, the only three European Cups. Ronaldo, how many titles, how many goals?
He missed the penalty. He missed the penalty in that final. I'm just saying,
we haven't been back since he left. That's the real problem with him going to shit.
That's not why. It's because the Glazers.
All right, we're doing
ranting. We're doing post rant.
This is how it is always, sir. We used to do Kick in the Blue. We did the big song section on the website. Check it out. We're gonna finish with the I See the Stretford End Rising. Great song. You often hear this on away days. We're going away, sir. We're going to be singing on Sunday morning. Cannot wait. Let's hope the boys show up big time. Enjoy.